الحمد لله عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته ومنتهى علمه. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولا نذير له ولا وزير له ولا مشير له ولا ند له ولا ندال له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة مما تعدون. يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان مقداره 1,000 سنة مما تعدون. ذلك عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز الرحيم، الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه، وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين، ثم جعل نسله من سلالة من ماء مهين، ثم سواه ونفخ فيه من روحه، وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. وقالوا أإذا ضللنا في الأرض أإنا لفي خلق جديد، بل هم بلقاء ربهم كافرون. قل يتوفاكم ملك الموت الذي وكل بكم ثم إلى ربكم ترجعون. آمنت بالله، صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، أما بعد. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listening to the praise and not of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many people sometimes think about the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he is praised very much. Well, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is named Muhammad, and Muhammad means the being which is praised most in the heaven and the earth. That's what the literal meaning of the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. Muhammad, it comes from hamd, like you say alhamdulillah, hamd. Lillah. Hamd means praise. Praise is for Allah. But he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, named him Muhammad, the most praised one. Not here only on the earth, but in all the realms, in the realm of angels, in the realms of heavens, in the Jannah, on every leaf, his name, blessed name is written. When Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was created and he looked upon the arsh and he saw the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal. And the ulama say that why he is the most praised one? Why is he named Muhammad? That why is he called Muhammad the most praised one? They say because not only the creation but the creator also praises him. So that is why he is Muhammad, because not only his alayhi salatu wasalam wa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that people and jinnat and human beings and angels, but Allah also is praising him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also praising him. And the ulama say that the verse of the Quran, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusallun ala nabi, that Allah verily sends salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Bukhari rahmahullah in his book of hadith has mentioned that Allah does not recite durood like we recite it. What is the salah and the durood for Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers the angels and there he praises Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the durood and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the being, and he is also Ahmad. Ahmad also have same letters, Ha, Meem, Dal, Hamd. It means that he is the one who has praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else. More than the praise of angels and anbiya and awliya. He alone has praised Allah more than actually anyone. And he himself is praised more than anyone else by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned that Ashabi kannajum, that my companions, people who have seen me, have been with me, have learned from me, have learned discipline from me, they are like stars. Because in ancient times, now we don't, but actually, in ancient times, few centuries ago, people, whenever they want, if they were traveling on the foot, or they were traveling in the sea, they were took guidance from the stars. Through stars they could know the direction they are traveling and they are supposed to travel. So, because there were no instruments as such, no road maps or maps as such, no satellite or anything. So, they were using the natural satellites. The stars are the natural satellites. They are in the heaven. They have an order which they follow. So, until this technology was discovered, before that, all people, they were using stars for guidance, that they want to go toward this country, they are on a trade trip, whatever. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba Rizwan al-Azmain and through them to all the Ummah, that my companions, they are like stars of guidance. When anyone is astray in any way, he will find guidance in them. Why are there so many companions? More than 100,000. Because you will find them in different in nature. You will find any companions who you can relate more to. If you are a slave, you can relate to the companions which were slaves to many people. Like, for example, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala in the beginning. If you are a businessman, rich man, you have example, you follow the footsteps of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Uthman and Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. If you are a female, do have many examples in female companions. If you are a leader, then you have also the example in many of the companions there are. If you are a businessman, also, whatever, if you are a family person, if you are a tribal leader, or if you are just, you may say, traveler, you don't belong, you are immigrant, then you have example in like people like Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi, radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Bilal al-Habshi, who was not from Makkah Sharif, not from Medina Sharif, he was there. So that is why there are numerous companions, so it is your job to find which companion matches your life more. So you will, because they all have taken guidance from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is your job, if you are elderly, if you are a young, if you are a youth, study, look at the lives of companions, find a person which matches your profile. Which matches. If you are harsh, if you are stubborn, find a person of that nature, that who then turn to Islam. If you are actually elderly, soft-hearted, from the beginning you will find certain companions as well like this. So that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that my companions are like stars. Whichever star you can see, the star which I am seeing here, people in Asia are not maybe seeing, or Arabia are not seeing the stars which I can see here in UK, for example. Different. So your personality is different. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognized and He placed in the life of the companions different natures, different ages. If you are uneducated, you'll find such companions who are not educated, who are not literate as such. If you are scholarly, you are there as well. But today, we are shedding some light upon the guidance in the life of one of the, not only companion, but great companion of Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala. In his life, there is example for you as well. So much so, if you are a disbeliever, you are example in Sayyidina Umar's life, because he was a disbeliever at one time. So for disbeliever, a person, if you have been opposing the truth, opposing good things, opposing Islam, opposing you were against, you didn't like it, then even there's example in for you. If you are a drug alcoholic, then there is example in you. Before accepting Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, even after Islam, the alcohol was not declared haram. But before, obviously, the kuffar, the people were actually drinking. And Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala at those times used to drink very heavily. So there is an example. If you have come a victim of drug, or actually anything, here you are. The example is there in Hazrat Umar that he has the potential, being alcoholic, being the kafir, being opposing to Islam, opposing the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but still he has the power, potential in him, hidden. He can become one of the second highest ranking person after Anbiya. Imagine. So there is hope for you, there is immense hope for you, whichever state, whichever condition you are in. You are in state of kufr, you are in state of drugs, you have become like a gangster. Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was an unbeatable person. fighting in the streets of Makkah, in the bazaar, in the festival of Uqaz. He was actually an unbeatable person, individually, as he was such a person. So, there's an example for you in there. He was that he could intimidate people. All Mecca feared him. When he was in Kufr, and when he was in Islam, people feared. So, he had this kind of personality. So, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have guided him from the very beginning? If he was to be the best after the Anbiya, the second best person, second to Sayyidina Abu Bakr only, Siddiq, then he could have been a Muslim from the very first day. Allah Azawajal could guide him as he guided him at that time. But Allah Azza Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wanted to make an example for us people like me and you, who sometimes go away from Islamic practices, who sometimes goes to the world of gangs and the world of zina and the world of drugs and the world of alcohol and the world of actually looting and all other things, so that me and you and others, shaitan can never make you and them hopeless, that you are such a evil, you looted people, you are doing this, you are committing zina, you can't be a good person. And Hazrat Umar's life denies and rejects this. Not you can become a good person, but you can become the best one amongst the people who are living now. Like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was the best, one of the best people who were living at his time. Similarly, you, no matter what state you are in, provided you want to change, you have the commitment, you can not only become an average good Muslim, but the best and one of the highest ranking Muslim, a wali, now as well. This is the power in you. So this is the seed. When a seed is in my hand, it is, nothing can be seen. But when the same seed, if it is seed of flowers, seed of, let's say, a tree or a flower, a rose, when it is placed in the earth, it germinates and it gives flower. Now it can't be seen, but the potential is in there. Similarly, you might be looking like a seed now. No one can see any beauty, goodness in you. No one, you can't see even in yourself. You just see a dead person, a liability on the face of the earth, in society, and everyone is actually thinking bad of you. But if that seed is placed on the earth, that means that if you submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lower down and submit, that's what Islam means. Submit and then see what actually comes from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this seed in you. As the verse with the Quran I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have created the human being from a drop, a sperm drop. And also then, but وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ, and then I have placed into it a ruh from myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a sparkle of nur in the human being is there. So that sparkle, that ruh have the potential. There is the seed, but it stayed covered. It doesn't get the right environment. It doesn't fertilize. It doesn't germinate. But if it is provided the right environment, the same seed can actually grow, not only in form of plants, but it will give fruit to others to eat. Imagine. That's how you can become as well. So Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, so no one should underestimate themselves, wherever they are. They are in kufr, or they are in sin. They think they are the most evil person. Don't underestimate the potential in you. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look at Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab. At one time, he is the most fierce enemy of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after mentioned that he is the person, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر, if there was a prophet to come after me, it would have been Umar would have that prophethood. Such a meaning, potential he had. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that in previous ummas, there were people who were not anbiya, they were mutahaddasun, muhaddas. Muhaddas mean people who are not prophets, but Allah speaks with them through ilham. Angels speak to them, but they are not prophets. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the previous nation there were people like this, and in my ummah, if there is anyone, it is Umar. So imagine the potential he had, that even angels, Allah is inspiring, angels are inspiring his heart. The opinion which he gives matches the verses of the Quran, the commands of Quran. The Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhim ajma'in said that whenever we had mashwara regarding anything, and Umar had different view than others, the Quran, when it was revealed, the Quran was according to the opinion of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, meaning that Hazrat Umar bin Khattab's opinion matched the opinion of or the command of the Quran revelation. So he had a right firasa. But the important thing is that how in the days of kufr, how far he was. So that is why we are inviting you as well, that don't stay like this. Don't stay in this state. You have to change. You have the potential to change. So when he really understood, after doing all these things, he became a successful businessman as well. He traveled to Syria, Yemen as well. He was a strong person. But actually, he was, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned about him in many, many hadiths. But before that, that when he just understood the truth is where that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the true Nabi, he changed. He changed, and then it's forever and ever. And such change that he, because as he was brave before accepting Islam, after Islam also, when he accepted Islam, he proclaimed his Islam in front of the kuffar. Although they all actually came together and beat him up. 300 people, 200, 300 people got together. They were standing, mob actually, throwing stones and steel. Yeah, but he still actually said, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that I declare that Islam is the truth and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. But people were coming, and he got hold of Utbah bin Rabi, one of the leaders, and he fixed his fingers into his eyes and he screamed. And then the people got away. People stopped. They got away. When he screamed that, go away, But when he let him off, again they attacked him immediately. Again. Until he was just sitting and taking the beating. He could not actually. But he was saying the kalima of La ilaha illallah. And said that I only say that if we are 40, if we were 300, the decision would have made that who is the winner and stronger, he said. And that his basira, his judgment was so truth, that on the battle of Badr, there the Muslims were 300. And then the decision, when the clash happened, when they were 300, or above 300, and you know the result. So his judgment was at that time as well. So they left him. So he went back. Rather, he then actually came with other Muslims that we are to pray in Makkah, in Kaaba Sharif. So they didn't bother him at that time, or in the time of Hijrah. behavior. So in Islam as well, he had a superior position. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many times walked and held his blessed hand. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with ru'b, with dignity, with majesty, that people would look and they will fear with awe, which was his speciality, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with him that at least. Shayateen, that firstly there was a woman who was speaking loudly and arguing and loudly speaking or questioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as sometimes women do. So she was doing, because they knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's personality, how he alayhi salatu wasalam was, that he was also the bravest of all of them, but actually the mercy, the compassion dominated. But when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala came there, he just walked in or there, she became silent, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. He said that from Umar the shayateen of jinn and shayateen of human being, they both fear him. So he had such a personality. People, Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ajmain, Allah gave him such majesty that imagine from a person who shaitan fears, what type of person will that be? Once he was going, as he said, that he was going and he a woman was coming from other direction and they passed and he was going with the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ajmain. And as he came in front, and the woman saw she was pregnant and she lost her baby. Such awe and majesty he had, actually. And once he was going with the companions, were walking behind him, and he was going, and he looked back toward them, and many of them fell down just by his looking at them. So it is not a normal thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now look what's happening in the world, in Palestine, and in his time, the people of Palestine, the Jewish people, the people who were the rulers, they handed the keys of Bayt al-Maqdis themselves to Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala. And he did not have such clothing or such might as such, but it is Islam, he followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in clothing, in his actions, and in. So I would like to share with you some of his nasai, some of his wisdom which he left and which he gave khutbahs in his lifetime. And our mashayikh of Tariqah Muhammadiyah, they also learned from his life and also from himself directly as well, so that we also, that day should come when now it's as though we are opposing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not with iman but with amal, with many deeds we are opposing, with many actions we are opposing, not with iman. Iman alhamdulillah we have, but deeds we are opposing. So that day should come like Hazrat Umar bin Khattab's life, that we stop opposing and submit to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, he was a simple person, spoke clearly and simply and didn't make things difficult, very vividly. So he said in one of the nasahe, one of the nasihas, he said, be kind and fear to the people. That was his first advice. See, be kind. Kind meaning actually being benevolent, being compassionate. And if you cannot be kind, be fear to the people. So this is his life. But that's how he was towards kufr and towards disbelievers and towards shayateen. But in the companions, he was very merciful, he was very compassionate. In the house, he was merciful. in the compassionate. One of the Sahabis, they said, their wife actually did, they had an argument and they had something dispute, and she was not listening and arguing. So he went to complain to Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time. That my wife actually does say such and such, and he argued and this, etc. But when he went near his blessed house, he heard Hazrat Umar's wife also speaking loudly and arguing with him. So he came to the door and he listened that there is an argument going on here, and she is even speaking louder than my wife when doing, saying things hard. So he said that, I have come to complain, now what can I say? So he just went actually. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who called him back, he said, you came to my door and you went back, what is it you have come for? He said, I came to complain against my wife, but when I looked the condition of your wife, then I thought that this is a lesson for me. This is a lesson for me. It is enough guidance for me. If the person like Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, such person who kings and superpowers of the military powers and the world fear and tremble, and shayateen tremble, but in the house he is listening, he is forbearing the wife's actually arguments and things. So this is a enough lesson for me. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala said, okay, good and well, you have learned the lesson as such, but he said, I would add to you that look, my wife looks after my children. I don't have to keep any person to actually look after children. I don't have to keep a servant to wash my clothes. She washes my clothes as well. I don't have to keep a person cook. She cooks food for me as well, cleans the house for me as well, although this is not her responsibility as such. And he mentioned many, many duties. And if after all these duties he is doing, and if I can just bear with some of the things she is saying with the tongue, it's not a big deal at all. It befits me that I should actually be patient in return of all these favors. So Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was a person like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person like this. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, that they were the most humble and, you may say, kind people at home and within Muslims, but towards sin and towards disbelief and towards the opposition and its act which is opposing Sunnah, they were the most strictest. And we have to learn from that. Our Mashayikh say there are many, many people who, firstly, they are religious or not religious, many people who have the garb and actually robes of religiosity, but they keep a kind of a distance, a harsh attitude with the people who they are close to, like their children, their household wife, etc., etc., that when they go home, outside they'll be fine, smiling here and there, saying hello, and they're in the home, they are actually, they completely put on different you may say, robe, different persona, different personality, which looks that they are very, very, like, you may say, severe or harsh, and with the children, with the animals, and others. The Mashayikh has said that this is not a good sign of a person, that even animals, like in ancient time people used to keep animals as well, that they also fear certain people. They know this person is not good. Say the person who from whom animals fear, he should know, I am not a good person. A person from whom the household members, that they fear, the children especially, they fear, this is a sign that there is some kind of lackness in the person. So, me, myself firstly, and yourself, you should be the most, from Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, kindest person. If the wife says that my husband prays, he follows the outward sunnah, but actually when he comes home, he never speaks to the children, children cannot actually openly sit with him, talk with him. The wife could not. He's always in mood and certain kind of mood, and actually just as he's saying, I am religious. No religiosity. This is not religiosity. This is actually going against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is said that there was certain Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam owned certain horses, certain other animals in the house as well. There were some pets as well, but they were very, very glad and very comfortable when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the house, and the children, even the slaves, even were happy. So I don't like to say that, but it seems like we have to do a role play, like we have the children, that how you come, we train the children, that how you come from the door inside the house, say salam first, and actually, you know, say how you are, and then go. It seems we have to train some husbands like this. Yes, I'm saying it clearly to you, that we have to maybe, you know, train some husbands and some people like this, actually, that how to enter the house, how to be in the house with the children, with the wife, that it should be like that when you enter, that they feel comfort, it's like their eyes are twinkling, their hearts are blossoming as such. Yes, it doesn't mean you compromise on deen, you compromise on sinfulness, or actually you show slackness, that when they are not practicing deen, going against the deen, but generally the good morals and the characteristics. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that the best amongst you, khayrukum khayrul li ahli, that best people amongst you are those who are best, meaning their conduct, their behavior. And one of the signs of behavior is that actually when you are in the house, the children, the wife, yes, they should have the husband or the amir, is the amir of the house, he should have majesty, he should have dignity, he should have such a aura that actually that they don't do anything against the Sharia and the Sunnah, and they don't have the courage to do that. But at the same time, they should feel comfortable, they should feel happy, they should feel. And if this is the children are saying, you are not speaking to them, and in pets, you have kept, pets are running away from you, children are running away from you, the wife is upset, you are not in their matters. So this is not closer to the Sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had greatest dignity, but sometime he was playing with Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala. Sometime he was crawling on the ground and they were sitting on him and playing with him. So there is majesty. He is doing other things at home. Anyway, so Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala said that be kind and fair to the people, especially the people who are closer to you. Do not deceive them in wealth. That is his advice. This is Hazrat Umar. Do not deceive them in wealth. There is no piety if you are deceiving people in wealth, defrauding people. He invented the social security system, the child benefit, disability benefit, housing benefit, all other things. He was the inventor. He was the initiator of this. So he is saying, don't deceive them in wealth, nor the hukuma, nor actually the people. And if he knew today that we are the people who are misusing the system which he initiated, then one can imagine that what he was most severe when people were against the truth or they were defrauding. He even admonished many his sons, his companions, and many people in the time of wealth. He was very, very sensitive in those matters. One people came, a person came and said to Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this land to me, and now it is being taken away from me. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that you Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, in time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he said to them that actually, that yes, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, gave to you, what have you done with the land? Have you irrigating the land? Are you using the land? He said, I am only using the part of it, but the rest is a gift for me. He said, now this is the land of the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ never gave you just to be a scorpion or a snake on the land. And if you're not using it, I am going to take it away from you. And he took it away from him. And that person had this gift from actually there. That he was, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu also gave that person the land. He said, yeah, you can keep it and others. But he, Hazrat Umar said, no, if he's not using it, it is the wealth of common Muslim, then actually it should go back to the Baitul Mal if he's not using it. So very, very in those matters. And said, do not deceive them in wealth and trust. When someone has trusted you, this is highest level of dishonesty, you see. To be dishonest with someone is bad thing anyway. But someone, some women, some man, some friend who trusts you, and to now deceive that trust is the highest form of actually, you may say, dishonesty. That is why the Prophet said, La imana liman la amanata lahu. There is no iman for that person who is not trustworthy, who is violating the trust, amana of people. He has no iman. Iman. And he said, La deena liman la ahda lahu. The saying of the Sahaba Rizwan Ajmain, that there is a person who doesn't guard his promise, no deen for him. He has no deen. So, koi deen nahi hai. Koi iman nahi hai. Jisme amanat nahi. Amanat mein khianat kar raha hua. Amanat nahi. Aur ahd nahi. And he said, don't deceive three things. He said, don't deceive them in wealth. Don't deceive them in trust. And don't deceive them in knowledge. Knowledge. When you know something, be honest. Deliver the knowledge honestly. When you have to give witnesses, many times you have knowledge of things, you have to tell the truth. And he said, do not take their riches, their money, their treasures and wealth. Do not take them. This is his life. That's how he was. That's how he achieved the status. All Sahaba were Sahaba. But why was Umar different? Because he had some such qualities in him. He said, do not break promises. This is for us. We are breaking now and then. Oh, I just changed my mind. You've given a word, another person is actually expecting, and you say, I just changed my mind. I'll meet you so and so, at such place. Oh, I forgot. And some people do not bother even to tell other people by phone that, yes, I had a meeting with you. Now, I have got something else come up, emergency. Or when you have knowledge that he won't be able to make tomorrow, inform the person beforehand, if you cannot. But they are just going like they have nothing. And the other person phone, where are you? Where are you? I'm busy, I'm sitting, I'm having dinner with my wife. Something like this. That's good, but actually, what is the promise and the word you've given there? He said, don't. And he said, don't mislead them or overpower them with your status and position of authority. So these are golden words. This is a golden guidance of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab. That don't mislead them. Sometimes you're misleading people because of your status. You hold such status that I am pious, I am this, I am MP or I'm this. But because of your status, people don't ask certain questions. And you are misleading them, giving them, everything is fine. Like we were seeing in one war recently was happening, one country is invading the other country. And the cameras are on it and see that the one country, the army of one country has entered the other, and they were mostly captured Their tanks are sitting in the capital or actually their president house or the king house. And the minister or the of the other country, he is still saying, yeah, we are still in control, we are still in control. And other people are saying the army has actually flooded, the enemy army or the other army has flooded, their tanks are sitting in the courtyard, and he's saying, yeah, still it's fine, actually we are well, you know, everything is under control. So that's how the sometimes the government people or position, they mislead because of their status and position and authority. And he had authority as well. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was the minister of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Majid. He alayhi salatu wa sallam said, I have two ministers in the heaven, which is Jibreel and Mikael alayhi salam, and two ministers on the earth, which is Abu Bakr or Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. But he never misused, and that's what he is asking. We are also in a position of authority. You have children and wife, you are. You are a manager of the company, you are president of an organization or a mosque or whatever. Or if not, you have authority over yourself. You are the amir of your body, your mind, your heart. You are there. So he said, radiallahu ta'ala, be truthful with your words and guide them with the wisdom of sunnah of the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, be truthful, be simple, truthful to people, and guide them through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Speak and act upon the knowledge you possess. He said, speak and act. So knowledge which you possess, speak that knowledge. Let the truth come out, and let the truth manifest itself by action as well, and become beacon of sunnah. Beacon means a light of sunnah, a landmark of sunnah, where people can see you and they can find sunnah in you. Be the strength to the weak amongst the people. Be the strength to the weak amongst people. That be the strength for the weak, meaning help the weak, be with the weak. But what we do, most people, they like to be strength of the powerful. I want picture with the president, I want picture with this actor, person of authority, this person who is high profile, yes, get my picture there, or actually we want you be strength to the people who are stronger already. But there are few people who want to be the strength to the weak. So he's saying that, look at me, be strength to the weak amongst the people. And he was very harsh in that manner, people who were, who misused the authority. Hazrat Amr bin Al-As, great companion, whose grave is also found, with the brothers know, in Turkey as well, and also there in Misr as well. He was the ruler of Egypt, governor of Egypt, Hazrat Amr bin Al-As, Fateh Misr, companion of Rasulullah sallam, who embraced Islam with Hazrat Khalid bin, near the time of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They were both very, very great generals and great leaders, military-wise. So he was the governor of Misr and Egypt in the time of Hazrat Umar as well, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now his grave, one grave is found in Turkey, in Istanbul, imagine. Also, some say they are buried in Egypt, wherever they are. But Hazrat Amr bin Al-As, Amr. His name was not Umar, Amr, with Zabar, Amr bin Al-As. He is the leader. And there what happens, like it was a custom there in Arab, that they would have races, horse races. Horse races. Horse was racing, and non-Muslim, Jewish, Christian, all were living under the Muslim authority. He, radiallahu ta'ala, never forced anyone to embrace Islam. He had one slave. Hazrat Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, had one slave. And he said to him that Islam has so many beauties, Islam has so many good things, look. He said, you want to accept Islam? He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I don't want to accept. He didn't force him. He was still slave to him. He still served him. But he didn't force him in any way. But he lived with him. He had his service. So who that? So they had a horse race, and one of the Christian person, their horse won. And then there was horses of other people, and also like the horse of Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As, who was the son of the governor. His horse was in their race there. So they were all wanted actually to him to win, and his horse was ran out, meaning it lost. And Muslims' horses, all Muslim horses, lost. One of the non-Muslim person owned horse, a Christian horse owned by him, he won. Now, obviously, horses are out there running. No one could do anything as such. But the son of the companion, he was like a prince. Like now, prince is the governor, son of the governor, son of the president. And this was Muslim rule, and this is non-Muslim person. So the Christian said, yes, I won. He actually declared, you know, I am winning in front of everyone and boasting about his winning. He became angry and he hit him. He said, you won all this good and bad, but you are doing this now, boasting and actually disheartening Muslims. He beat him up with one or two lashes or three lashes and thereafter. Not much injury. But at that time as well, that these people, Christian, non-Muslim, they knew, yes, he has done this, but there is justice. And he said, if I go to his father, if my father might entertain me, or not, it is his father. So he traveled from Egypt to Madinatul Munawwara. Egypt to Madinatul Munawwara. And to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said that it was a horse race and my horse ran and the son of your governor hit me just because my horse won. He didn't tell the full story that, you know, what I was doing, etc. So like people when win matches, and sometimes they can go quietly home, but when they actually aggravate the situation and tease others, look what our team has done, and that actually attracts violence sometimes. Anyway, he told the story. Hazrat Umar was not to decide on matter until he had heard the other side. So imagine, it's a small matter. He could have said, oh, okay, it's a horse race. After it's a game, yeah, you know, just go, it doesn't matter. He's not actually injured you very much. Just he has done, he whipped you a few times, doesn't matter, giving him some gift. But this is what he is saying to us as well. Be the strength to the weak and be fair and kind to people. At that time, he was Amir. That is the concept of Amir in Islam. Amir, and the person who is put in authority. That he wrote the khat, the letter to the governor. He didn't write it to the son of the governor. He wrote to the governor, his father. Hazrat Amr bin Al-As was a great companion. They were a respected person very much. And he said, he just wrote in the letter that, get your son and you and come to Medina. He could have said that, you know, this incident has happened, investigate what has happened and look into it, etc., etc. No, it was not like that. That's why he's called Farooq. So the governor also feared Hazrat Umar that he has called me forward. He asked his son, he said, I don't, you know, no, there is not much serious thing, anything has happened. But they went, so many days took them to go to Medina. They are now Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf, and Hazrat Usman, great companion, other companions, hundreds are sitting there. And there comes them. And when they come, Hazrat Umar immediately called that Christian person. He said, come now. He said, that's what you have said, your statement. And he said to the governor's son, that you have hit him. And then now people, like he was aggravating, he made me do it. He said, I don't want to listen to that. I'm asking, have you hit him? That's how people do in our time. When they swear and beat other people and then they are caught or they are held accountable, they say, he made me do it. He made me do it. I didn't want to do it. He made me do it. Well, that's not an excuse at all to actually do it. He made you do it. Many people, they can't make you do good things, but they always make you do evil things. because there's evil inside you. That's why. Otherwise, there are so many people who are telling you all the time to do good things, but you never say that that person made me do good things. But there actually evil side there. So he said, he made me do this. Thomas said, no, I'm not asking. I'm asking that did you hit him that because you are his horse won? He said, yes. Because you're in front of Sri Narayana, there are no actually excuses like this. So he, now the father is there, companions are there, and they are also feeling embarrassed that now a non-Muslim, a Christian, is being, the justice will be done, and he might have to hit. So Hazrat Umar said now, okay, come to the governor's son, and he gave his own whip to the Christian and said, now hit him as he has hit you, only like that. And he hit him 2, 3, 4 times or whatever. And the Hazrat Amr bin Al-As wanted to say something. Hazrat Amr bin Al-As, his father wanted to say something that, you know, we'll deal with him or we'll make him happy, we'll give him some gifts just before he would hit him so that it is an embarrassment, a kind of that as he was. But Hazrat Umar said, stop. Be silent. You should have spoken in Egypt when this happened. You should have spoken in Egypt, not here now. Now here was only Umar speaks. So you should have spoken, your authority should have been used in Egypt now. Now there is no excuse and no justification from you. So silent. So after he was hit, now Hazrat Umar said, now a great companion, Hazrat Amr bin Al-As, now he have to be lashed as well by the same person because it's under your amirship, under your governorship this happened. So you are also liable for that. Now even the other person became upset and his heart was actually affected. He said, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, I've forgiven him. I've had my justice, what I wanted. And the matter is finished. So that is what he's saying to us as well, that be the strength to the weak amongst the people. Because when you are siding with the weak, you are siding with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember. And when you are siding with people of authority and people, rich people, just because they are rich or they have more authority or they have more number, then you are siding with shaitan. Then you are siding also with shaitan. And he said, follow the sunnah in eating and drinking. And he didn't like people with big stomachs at all. As I mentioned many times, that he would sometimes point people who had big stomach that you better get your stomach actually in order, or otherwise actually the whip of Umar will do that. You know, if he'd ask people, if you are eating too much, eat less, give to others. And this has happened various times, and people with big stomachs were hesitated always not to come in front of him, not to sit in the front rows, were coming, they were hiding. Because he said, this is not good, you are not being fair with yourself, how will you be fair with others? When you are, you know, overeating and you are putting weight over on your own body, you are doing zulm upon your own body, so we can expect from you actually being with other people as well. And people who were, anyway, the many, many other things. And he said, be the one who has no fear against shaitan, but be the one who is feared by shaitan. That is his nasiha. Aap farma rahe hain ki aisa banda mat bano ki tum shaitan ko hawa bana ke shaitan se dare ho, shaitan ye kar dega, shaitan mujhe ye kar dega. Farmaya, aisa bano ki shaitan tum se dare. Be the one who has no fear against shaitan. Be the one who is feared by shaitan. Who shaitan fears. Shaitan should fear you. As someone was saying that you shouldn't make shaitan more than what he is. He has certain powers, but not very much. He has power of invitation, of putting things, of making things, magnifying things, looking, sins looking very attractive to you, or putting vasvasa and thoughts in your mind. He has no physical power as such, that he can physically overrule you as such. But he, radiallahu ta'ala, is saying that be the one who actually is feared by shaitan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, yes, if Umar is going on one path and shaitan is coming towards there, the shaitan even changes his direction. Because he has no hope in deceiving Umar. And secondly, even he also have no hope that if Umar is around, actually that he is. So that's why Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari or Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari said to Hazrat Umar, Ya Maqfalul Fitna, oh the closer, fitna meaning, fitnu ke darwaze ke taale, meaning where fitna comes, he said to Hazrat Umar, that you are the lock of the door through which fitna comes. And Hazrat Umar said, you have given me this name, you have praised me. He said, I have not praised you. I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, until this man is alive, fitna will never come into Islam. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when Umar should leave, die, or martyr, Islam should cry and weep that he will not get a supporter like him. He will not get a leader like him. Islam, the deen, should cry and weep that he is such a person. And he said, I finish now, where the nasiha is quite long and angry. Be the most approachable one for the people in need. You should be approachable, not actually fearing, you know, he is that person. If you have some authority, you should be approachable. People should be for the people in need, who need you. With gentleness of heart and body. How you should be approachable? Show gentleness in heart, with body, with language, and with the heart, so that they feel that they can approach you. But be the unbreakable one against shaitan. Against shaitan, be unbreakable, as you are iron. But in moments with believers, people in need, be soft as much as you can as a flower. And be unbreakable against shaitan and with actions of strict compliance of the beloved sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, my life has always been to and wish to become the shadow of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here now he is mentioning the wisdom, the reason that why shaitan feared him, because he was trying to be the shadow of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then from the shadow of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he carries on. He gave some nasiha, but inshallah, if we have time and another time, I will mention. But for you and me, the greatest nasiha of his life is that, firstly, he implemented Islam upon his body. Firstly, his shaitan was ruling his whole body. When he was going against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, against Islam, there was no sunnah or Islam even upon his own body, in his own heart. So this was the state. So firstly, he brought Islam upon his organs, his mind, his blessed heart, in his blessed heart, his organs. And then when he had the Islam implemented over his own seven organs, an own piece of the earth, then he spread Islam as though on the seven continents of the bigger earth which we are living. So this is the concept really. Firstly, you have an earth, you can be Umar of your own body. You can't be a Khalifa as a proud of the earth, for example. But why not become Umar of your own body? You have a body to rule. You have a meal. You have seven continents. These seven organs are like seven continents. So you become, be just to yourself. For example, be just to yourself. We have enough sleep, but actually in the time of prayer, sacrifice your sleep. Be just. You are ruling. These are your amirs. These are your governors. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, they are your governors. You become the Umar ruling them, and just Only then you can expand this concept upon your family and others and on the face of the earth. But everyone can be, at least copy Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu at their own level. And the brothers will also be mentioning something for you as well.
As you have heard, if there's any brother or sister who would like to know how you can conquer the seven continents, how you can change, if you want to have the will to change, you've heard. But as long as you keep hearing, hearing alone will only create the thirst in you. It will not create any changes in you until you make that will to change yourself. I will slowly, quickly go through this with you. It's, a lot of the brothers are known and you've heard it many times before, but these are not stories. It's not for entertainment. We give it lip service. We've heard this many times before. And as I was with the Hadhrat Sahib in Turkey, they said something to me and the penny dropped. They said, majority of people, they concentrate on this only, this area, this dunya that we're on. And that's all they see. And they said, the friends of Allah, they see the whole map. That is the difference. So those who would like to see beyond this dunya, you have to, don't give it just lip service, believe in it. Believe in it. And I'm saying this not just for the newcomers or people who have come for the very first time. I'm saying this for the brothers who have also been here. Believe, see beyond this dunya. See behind you where you've been and where you're going. And I will quickly just go through this because it's important to know where you've come from to know where you are. And to know where you are, then you know where you're going. So this is the period here. This is the period where Allah existed. Allah has existed all. Forever. He existed before He created creation. And then, in this area here, the land of the spirits, Allah created all creation, created the souls. And there, that is where He took a covenant from us. And He said, am I not your Lord? And we all replied, yes. Whether you can remember or not is not important. To believe that is part of your aqeedah and is part of your belief. And don't let it sink inside you. Don't think, well, I can't remember, so it's not important. It's important. It's very, very important.
One person in Turkey asked the question, same thing, that I can't remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took covenant from me, that am I not your Lord? I didn't hear it. I don't remember if I heard it or etc. I said, that is long time ago. Do you remember the azan which somebody said in your ear when you were born? I said, no. He said, well, this is only 15, 20, 40 years ago. This is millions of years ago. So that's not important, you remember or not, but now you have been reminded that you are. So everyone, who remembers the azan which was said when you were born in the ear? It was said definitely. Every Muslim ear, azan and aqama is said. But your father can tell you, your mother can, or the person who given, he can say, yes, he did. So that's all what you need to know. Similarly, that ahd, that covenant in the world of spirits, Allah's messenger, Allah Himself is saying that I said the azan to you. Because Allah is saying, Alastu bi Rabbikum. To you, azan is said by a person, when the body. But in the ears of the spirit, Allah said azan. Meaning Allah made the announcement, Alastu bi Rabbikum. And the announcer, he is telling you, the real creator of you is telling you that I said this azan, made this announcement, and now maybe your earthly, your father or your, he will tell you as well that he has given you azan or some other alim has given. So it is, important thing is that you've been reminded. Rasulullah came and he mentioned. That is all about. If I remembered myself, then there's no need for prophet. No need for at least. If I remembered everything what happened when I was creating a world of spirit, then I know everything, then there was no need for guidance at all. The need of guidance, the need of the prophets and messengers came, that when we came into this world, we forgot. Our bodies don't remember. Spirits do remember, but there is a barrier which we can't actually access.
So when we profess to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are our Lord, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then I will test you. So this circle here, this dunya, that is our testing ground. But how was Allah going to test us? Now, Allah gave us free will. And this, with that free will that He tests us. Now it's a bad analogy, and may Allah forgive me for this. But imagine you have a wild animal in a cage. And you say to that cage, to that animal, if I let you out, if you act according to my will, I will reward you. I will feed you, you can roam around the house, and you can do as you wish. But if you eat my children, or damage my property, I will shoot you. Now you say to the animal, the choice is yours, you can stay in that cage, and I will look after you. Or you can have your free will, but the free will has got to be according to me. Likewise, Allah offered this free will, and all the creation turned it down, and we as human beings and the jinn took it upon ourselves. Allah, what happens if we accept this free will? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will reward you like I've rewarded no creation. But go against my will and I will punish you like I've punished nothing else. Now we have made that. So now while you're here, remember when you go against the will of Allah, remember that. Now, this place where we are for a very short period of time, it's, when you think about the history of time, it's nothing but a blink. Think about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's testing you, but what is He testing you with? A blink of an eye. This life is very fleeting. Ask those who have white beards like me. Someone asked Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, how did it feel to live 950 years? And they said it felt as if I walked in through one door into a room and left through another. So this area here is very, very fleeting. And that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not want you to suffer, or through your test, He doesn't want to test you very long. If you submit to the will of Allah, which you have already submitted, you say, I am a Muslim. Who is a Muslim? Someone who surrenders his will to the will of Allah. Apart from the fact that we are hypocrites. Because we have said, Ya Allah, I submit my will, but then I follow my own will. I haven't submitted my will to the will of Allah. That's the promise we've made. Now let's live up to the promise that we have made. And not be hypocrites. Let's be true to what we've made, the promise. So on here, if we just for a short time submit to the will of Allah, then we enter into there, which is the Alam al-Barzakh. Out of the two places, that becomes the pit of hell, according to how you lived here, or a garden of paradise. And then from there, that's the day of Hashr, that's 50,000 years. That's why this area here seems like a blink of an eye when you compare it to 50,000 years. That's just the day of accounting. If you want the day of accounting for 50,000 years to fly by and not have any anxiety and suffering, doesn't it make sense? Just for a little short spell here to control ourselves. And then from there, even that 50,000 years is nothing. Even that is a blink compared to what is coming there and there. Therefore, it is very, very important. These are not stories. And I am talking to the converted. Every single person here believes this. Then why are we lazy? Then why are we wasting time? And why are we saying tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow? So there is a course of purification, self-purification you do at your own free will. And it's not complicated, it's very, very simple. We should be grateful and thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invited us into His house and He has for us someone who is willing to teach. Someone who is willing to teach free of charge. Have you ever seen a teacher who teaches and doesn't give up? And those people like us who don't really want to learn? Can you imagine how frustrating that is? Coming month after month and week after week, others say, I can't do my zikr. or I can't do this, and how they say, doesn't matter, start again, start again, start again, start again, start again. So we have someone who is willing to teach us and save ourselves. So if there's any brother here who's heard something and would like to change and wants to know how they can change and how they can day by day follow the sunnah and become the embodiment of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam outwardly and inwardly, because it is the old cliche of this breaking one stick at a time or snapping all seven at once, that it is a system, not the only system in the world, but it is a system that works. And if there's any brother who would like to start this journey, somebody will sit with you for 10-15 minutes and just show you how this course works. Then you can think about it. And if you want to change, get closer to Allah, and remember this life is very fleeting, and eternity depends on your purification of your heart and body and mind, and how you stay away from the darkness entering into you, and whatever good deeds you do, to preserve them. And that's what the course teaches. If there's anybody who, brother, who would like to know more about it, please put your hand up.
Firstly, ask the ones who was taken already, so that people know that actually they get encouraged.
Mm-hmm. All the brothers who have already taken the course, put your hands up. Mashallah.
So inshallah, so many people are benefiting because there's nothing to lose, only something to gain. So especially the new people, the newcomer, and they're not making any commitment, but just sitting 10-15 minutes to learn. Have you got the next picture to control the cavern organ or not?
Is there? The heart picture.
I'll keep pressing. So here we are now, inshallah, that after what you heard, that this is all what you need to control, the heart, mind, plus but the seven organs. That's all Rasulullah said, whoever guarantees me usage of these, some of these even he said, I will guarantee Jannah for him. So it's not a big, very much big deal or difficult or philosophy. It's all about that simple seven things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and how you are using. And that's why we are failing again and again, because we are not using them wisely. So there is a method, like the Shafiq was saying, look at them as seven sticks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you try to break them at 1, 7, they become very thick. It's not. But if you divide them 1 into 7, it's easy to break. Meaning it's easier to break habits of one organ than to break habits of all. So you can start from, for example, tongue, then fix the problems there, then move to ears, then to eyes, then to hands, and that's to feet. And then alhamdulillah, you've seen the where you will be going. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that most people are punished in the grave because of the misuse of the tongue, or private part, not looking into taking care of the purity of it. And he said to the women as well, when he came back from Miraj, I've seen majority of women in hell more than actually men. And they asked, why, Ya Rasulullah? He said, both things he mentioned was of tongue. He said, one is that you become unthankful to your husbands, or the ones who provide you, that don't appreciate, meaning that when you don't get something, you even reject whatever blessings you had. Yes, sometimes people, husbands, are unjust to the women, but when they are unjust to the women, they outrightly say, we've never seen pleasure, we've never seen any happiness, we've never seen any money or anything since I've come into this house. That is unthankfulness. And second, the Prophet ﷺ said that that you misuse the tongue when you quarrel with each other or say inappropriate words. So he again mentioned the tongue. For men, he mentioned the tongue and private parts. So it's all the mess we are making of our lives because of these. So through this, you will be given free this sheet, and you can control it, like every day you can hold yourself accountable, 1, 2, 3, until you master it into 30 days, and then you can move on to others. Then you can, simple as that, learning the simple belief which you have seen in the first diagram. What's in the first diagram? Belief. Believing in Allah, believing in that this dunya is temporal, that's what you've seen. Believing that there's akhirah, believing that the messengers came here and the malaika, actually they brought the message. That's what you've seen in the first diagram. And day of judgment and akhirah and accountability. And that's what you will be judged on the day of judgment according to what you have been doing with your body. So whoever wants to give their name for 10-15 minutes sitting after the majlis, they can. And other announcements as well, they want to make.
If there's any brother who would like to put their hand up and... MashaAllah.
MashaAllah. Barakallahu.
Okay. I'd just like to say, you know, Hazrat goes around the world and they go to Pakistan, and literally I've seen with my own eyes, because I've seen thousands of people join. You know, and they could be into Indonesia and the same, and we go to Makkah and Medina the same, we go to Morocco, this the same. And hundreds and thousands of people are benefiting from these. And they're going to Bangladesh soon, and they're going to go to Pakistan soon. So what I'm saying to you is, it's bad kismati if you have it in front of you. And other people from thousands of miles away, people are benefiting. And then if we, being so close to them here, we don't benefit. So it's just food for thought. You know, there are people benefiting, and those that, mashallah, alhamdulillah, have the will. And if there's any brother who is a bit shy, who doesn't want to put his hand, or has his, like Hazrat Sahib says, changed his mind, please sit down and, you know, sit with the thing and just listen, and maybe you'll learn, and you'll take it away with you, alhamdulillah. There will be a little study circle afterwards. I just want to make a couple of announcements. There will be a Muharram program on the 25th, which is a Sunday, in Bolton, after Maghrib Salah. There is quite a few speakers coming that day. There's Mufti Fazal Qayyum Shabani from Ummah Channel. They'll be here. There'll be Maulana Sabr from Jamia Alvia. There'll be Maulana Sadr Ahmed Qadri Sahib, part of the Tariq. There'll be Maulana Fazal Rasool from Aqsa Masjid. And of course, there will be our teacher, Hazrat Sahib, here also on that evening. There will be a Durood Islam Majlis as well, after Isha. So remember, the program starts at Maghrib, and after Isha will be the Durood Islam Majlis as well. Please make an effort and attend.
Very clearly, meaning that actually normally we start Isha time. The Durood Islam Majlis might be before as well.
Yes.
It depends upon the time. So don't come at Isha time. It's as though that you missed it, really, because it will be Sunday. So if you come at Maghrib time, the program is going to be between Maghrib and Isha. Hopefully it begins. But if it extends, sometimes we do sit, then that's a different thing. But you, your family members and others, okay, this is a special program for Muharram in the memory of Sayyidina Imam Hussein and Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab and other Sahaba, Tabi'in and Awliya. So at Maghrib time, before Maghrib, come at Asr time, prepare between Maghrib and Isha, listening to the speakers and the zikr and the Durood Majlis. So don't be confused, this confusion, because one have to be clear. Shaitan can easily make a person misunderstand thing and think, oh, I thought it will be after Isha, because every time it's after Isha. So now think very clearly and let it enter to Maghrib, tell others. It's a general program. Other scholars, alhamdulillah, they will be coming, bring your wives, children, sons, daughters, and yourselves, obviously, as well. So, this is the next itwar. Muharram Sharif ke hawale se aap Maghrib ke waqt aaye, Durood o Salam ke bhi majlis hai, aur ye Muharram Sharif ke hawale se bhi baat hogi.
And also, there will be food will be served as well after the majlis. Also, there is a jamaat taking place in this very masjid till Wednesday. those brothers who have never been on a Jamaat, it's highly recommended. It's a way of spending some time away from the rat race. You know, outside in the rat race, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Get away from there, come and sit in the house of Allah, clear your mind, learn about certain things you cannot learn because we don't have the time. You know, correct your salah, learn some asools of fiqh.
So what is Jamaat? I explained to you. Jamaat is basically, in modern times, you can say, it is like a free 1 or 2 day workshop. People who had that opportunity to learn about deen, basic thing, they don't know salatul janaza, they don't know how to do ghusl, they don't know how to the sunnah of other things, how to be up for tahajjud, how to pray tahajjud, other things. So it's basically 2 days, like camp or a workshop, which no fee is charged at all, meaning actually that there is no fee for there. You only actually eat for yourself whatever you eat. So in this mosque, another mosque, it's like camp, 2 days, 1 day, camp. What a good opportunity you become a guest of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learn about His deen and be in the company of angels and actually the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, so you should, local brothers, others should give their names, and then there are other camps and workshops as well through the month.
And brothers are encouraged to stand up and give their names. So all those brothers who want to participate in this one. And also, there's a London Jamaat going on the 30th of November to the 2nd of December. So if the brothers want to stand up and give their names for that Jamaat as well. MashaAllah.
This is Sunnah of the Sahaba and especially Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to send Jamaat. You see, he sent the Jamaat first to, in the supervision of Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil to Kufa. Firstly, he sent the Jamaat to see what are the circumstances to prepare the ground so that he comes. That has Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his cousin, and the he did go to Kufa and he did took bear on for Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, and prepared the ground. That there were 1,060, 70,000, 40,000 people who did, and he wrote the letter that yes, alhamdulillah, I've done the work, now you come. That's a different story, that these people then, like us, we making promise, betraying. They betrayed on the day or in those times. So dekhna ye tarika Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, unhone bhi apnaya. Apne jaane se pehle, before he's sending a Jamaat to Kufa, and the Muslim was the ambassador of Sayyidina Imam Hussein Adiyam. So that's how we go as well. I am with you or not, what is the blessing is that Allah is with you when you're going for His deen. And actually, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessing, His rahmah, and His sunnah is with you. And angels are with you. What one needs more? But it is a test. In this world, you don't always get flowers thrown when you are on the path of truth. Mostly, it is stones, like in the city of Taif when the Prophet ﷺ went there, or spears and arrows, like in Karbala, what Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala experienced. But there is Jannah, there is heavenly player for you forever and ever. And your names will be included in those people who are walking somewhere back in the caravan of Karbala, because he is the leader. Rasulullah is the leader. Behind him is Abu Bakr, Umar, Osman, Ali. They are in the same caravan, and behind them is Imam Hussein and people of Karbala. And somewhere in the line, you will be as well. That these people also walked for deen, they travel for deen, they will be allowed to travel behind them under the banner. And what a blessing it will be on the day of judgment to be with them and behind them. Everyone would like to be there on the day of judgment, but they can't. Now you have to make a decision. Now is the testing time, because it's difficult. It's a challenge. Yes.
And finally, there will be a Durood Majlis now.
Zikr Majlis.
There will be a Zikr Majlis, and I will go through the Zikr etiquettes with you. Inshallah. The first thing to do initially is to sit in the tashud position initially, and then you can change as you feel uncomfortable. to correct your niyat again, and to have the three keys.
Shafiq, have you mentioned to them sitting in the semicircle? Every week you mention, but have you shown them how to sit in the semicircle?
Please, everybody come forward and have perfect rows. It's like when we go and read Salah at the...
let me explain. Because every week you hear, week after we sit in semicircle. How is the semicircle? Semicircle is a line which goes actually like this. It is not a line like going like this. This is not a semicircle. This is a something actually DC current actually going like this. So this is not semicircle means like in the Salah, the lines are straight. Namaz mein to lines aise seedhi hoti hai na. In semicircle meaning there still should be a line, but the line should be like a semicircle. So let's say today we'll explain, for example, why you coming forward? You come forward or not, but semicircle should be, there should be, sit a little bit closer. Aaj bhi sikha dete hain aapko practically, sit closer, thoda pass ho jane ke saath, pass ho jane, in line, bas. Aap bhi saath ho jane, lekin line mein jo hai seedhe. Now, just leave a little bit of space in between, other can be, ek aaj hai saath. One person come forward here.
Abdullah, aaj hai, you just come forward. Okay.
आज सीख लें ताकि फिर जो है सिमिलरली दिस लाइन फर्स्ट मूव लिटिल बिट फॉरवर्ड ताकि इस तरह हो. दिस इज क्वार्टर सर्कल देन नॉट सेमी सर्कल के आधा इधर है आधा उधर है. जज़ाकअल्लाह. ओके दैट्स फाइन. यू आर फाइन विद द डे. आप भी स्टार्ट हो रही है. मूव दिस वायर ओवर हियर. ओके दैट्स फर्स्ट. ठीक है. सो टुडे लर्न एंड देन एवरी वीक ट्राई टू be like this. इसी तरह जो पिछली लाइन है वो भी ऐसे लाइन हो सफ हो लाइक द सफ ऑफ सला लाइक द सहाबा रिज़वानुल्लाह अलैहिम यूज़ टू सिट. डोंट मूव टू फॉरवर्ड यू बैकवर्ड पीछे इन योर लाइन. सो बेसिकली द कॉन्सेप्ट इज जस्ट वन लाइन सेमी सर्कल लाइक दिस अनदर लाइन बिहाइंड एंड अनदर लाइन एंड देन आफ्टर यू फील अनकम्फर्टेबल यू कैन सिट मीनिंग बट स्टिल be in this. तो ये तरतीब होती है. रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम यूज्ड टू लाइक ऑर्डर. व्हेन ही वाज ट्रैवलिंग ही वुड आस्क पीपल टू कैंप. ही विल आस्क पीपल टू कैंपिंग लाइक टेंट. समवन देयर बी वास्ट ग्राउंड एकर्स ऑफ ग्राउंड. समवन इज टेंटिंग हियर. समवन इज ही विल से नो इवन पुट द टेंट्स इन रो एज़ वेल. द टेंट्स इन रो एज़ वेल. 10 हियर 10 हियर. Even when fighting in the jihad, in battle of Badr, battle of Uhud and Khandaq, it is Rasulullah was very strict upon that the rows. They're fighting, they're not praying. But order is order. Jung may be you have. It is so much so that once Rasulullah was so strict upon these matters, he was pointing with his stick, that straight, and he, to one of the companions, he touched his blessed stick on his best body, that one. And this companion complained before the physical departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, you hit me with the stick. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took off his shawl and he said, you can hit me back. But where did that hitting took place? In the field of battle when he was straightening the rows. So namaz mein bhi dekhe kitna zaruri hai, jang mein bhi. And zikr may be, as they are batting, malaika comes, they sit in rows as well. They are not sitting in a mixture way. They sit in rows. Malaika, aate bhi tarteeb se hain. So, inshallah, then there is blessing, there is order. Shoes bhi jo hai, wahan bahir rakhe, tarteeb ke saath hon, not people want to see, when they come to mosque, learn these things. Jazakumullahu ahsana, jazakumullahu ahsana, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, nashadu wa la ilaha illa. نستغفرك ونتوب.